I have served in many different capacities in my 3 decades in public service. This day was second only to talking to the Givens family on the passing of their daughter, Stephanie Givens. So Trayvon's death and the circumstances surrounding his death affected me in a personal and a professional way, particularly with respect to the events of today. I had to, along with my colleague, Commissioner LeBron, look a grieving mother in the eye and tell her that we had made a mistake, a grievous mistake, an unalterable mistake. We are here for one reason and one reason only, and that is to take full and complete responsibility for this young man's passing. Others may dialogue about what they did and why certain things happened, but today at 131 West Broad Street at 4:30, my job as president of the Board of Education is to communicate to you on behalf of my colleagues and everyone who works for the district that we are sorry. Even at this early stage of this circumstance, there are some facts that are not in dispute. We now know that at least 3 adults marked Trayvon present when in fact he was absent. It also brings me no honor, indeed it brings me great shame, to admit that we have reason to believe that some adults that are part of this system, that we all work so hard to protect children, apparently attempted to alter attendance records. As a result of those known facts, there is but one inescapable conclusion. The Rochester City School District failed young Trayvon. Our superintendent has prepared a more detailed statement regarding this tragic loss and these circumstances. And in conclusion, I offer this to his mom, Ms. Houston. I offer this on behalf of my colleagues to the entire community. We can, we must do better. Barbara.
So this is a particularly difficult moment because as a mom who had sent students to school every day, we know that we fully entrust our children to the schools and don't expect that this kind of tragic occurrence will happen. So for that, I am deeply sorry. As has been widely reported, we've been engaged in an extensive investigation concerning the circumstances surrounding the tragic death of Trayvon Rowe. The investigation, as promised, will be deep and will be complete, but it is still continuing. So today I'm going to talk about what we do know. Overall, what's become clear is that our system failed us on 2 important points. First, although 5 school staff members were deployed at School 12 to greet students on March 8th, Trayvon was not observed exiting the bus or leaving the campus. From a review of the available video camera footage, it appears that Trayvon was the second last student who exited a bus and turned right in the opposite direction of the school entrance and was observed on videotape leaving school grounds. Also significant is that Trayvon was not classified in our system as a student with autism. As you may know, autism is primarily a medical diagnosis, and although there are indications that Trevon was indeed a student with autism, we're still reviewing why he was not so classified. Moreover, his record does not specifically identify Trevon as having a regular tendency to wander away from school. I'm pointing this out now only to indicate why a monitor was not specifically designated to escort him from his bus to the building. However, we must and we will redouble our efforts to ensure that our children with disabilities in this district are properly classified and ensure our school staff are as vigilant as possible for all children, both during bus arrival and departure times. The second point at which our system failed is in the taking of attendance that day. Although about 60 robocalls went out from the school concerning students not in attendance on March 8th in that building, a call was not made to Trevon's family. From what we've discovered thus far, the reason is that he was marked as being present by three of his teachers at three different times, although his special education teacher correctly marked him as being absent. I was also most disturbed to learn that there was an attempt to change the record to cover up these errors, and that will be dealt with separately. Notwithstanding that, there can be no excuse for the failure to discover until the end of the school day that one of our students was absent. It is apparent that we simply were not as careful as we should have been, and there were dire consequences for that. What is particularly troubling in addition is that even if Trevon was marked absent from the beginning of the day and the robocall procedures were followed to the letter, the call likely would have been too late to have saved Trevon. Under the district's current attendance procedure, the call would not have gone out until 11 a.m. We must change the procedure, and I will be asking the Board of Education for the ability to hire attendance clerks for all of our schools so that parents can be notified in a timely manner and personally concerning student absences. This recommendation is consistent with the most prudent and stringent practice that will ensure that no family will go without notice of their child's absence personally. For the present time, we have checked and rechecked with all of our schools to ensure that they are confident and they are doubling down and making sure that all students are properly accounted for and safe. As our investigation continues, and it will continue, we will correct any other shortfalls in our system as they are discovered, and we will also address the very obvious human errors that contributed to this tragic result. That said, I will thank all of the district employees and volunteers from throughout the county, especially Autism Up, who worked tirelessly with the police throughout this anguishing time. It illustrates for me once more how this community, despite the things that sometimes divide us, must unite in times of crisis. I thank you for your attention, and my staff and I will do our best to answer any questions that you may have at this time.
Before we do that, I want to add one other piece. Staff here, because I probably don't ask questions. Ms. Houston indicated to me, as did Mr. Handy, who many of you have talked to, that there are ongoing questions, and quite naturally we expected that. And Commissioner Dean Williams has indicated that we have every intention of investigating this. The Board of Education has opened up a line of communication to the New York State Department of Education, and it is our hope that that independent investigation will be conducted by the State of New York. While we are very confident of our staff, and they feel the loss as anyone does in this community, we feel that it is best, the Board of Education feels that it is best, that we bring in somebody from the outside to gather the facts and determine first for Ms. Houston what happened. And I indicated to her that the first person that would get a copy of that report would be her. And in fact, that's why this press conference took so long to take place. I know many of you have been calling very persistently, wanting to know what we were going to say. We've had to delay this a couple days at least because we wanted to make sure that the first person that heard us say we were wrong was Ms. Houston. And I'm glad to say we took the time to do that. And I thank the staff and the community for your indulgence. But that was important to the board, important to the district staff, and we've done that. And we hope that you all will keep her in her prayers. Any questions?
Questions that all these folks right here, the Rochester New York mainstream media, will not ask. Excuse me, don't cut me off, please. All right, with all respect. Yes, I'm serious, absolutely. I am a father of two children who currently go to the Brighton School District, but they are Rochester City School graduates. Mr. Van White, I've known you over 30 years. Thank you for holding this, and thank you for your professionalism. But you, ma'am, much like a police chief, much like a mayor who run branches of the government, when they screw up, this is beyond bad. This is disgusting. And you need to resign. I came here from Brighton before I even cooked dinner for my kids to let you know that you need to resign. This is career ending and it should be. You should be ashamed of yourself. There should be no recovery from this. And this is a joke. You have Mr. Carlos Garcia here, who is a disgraced RPD officer who stole from the department. I came strictly to tell you what no one may have the cojones, excuse my language, to tell you. You need to resign. You have blood on your hands.
All right, all right. Any other questions?
The mayor just had a press conference up for all me, and she said that your employees at that school resisted requests from the police department the day the Trayvon was missing for a video that would have expedited that search. How do you respond to that?
If somebody takes the podium, I don't have the facts of this, but let me just say this. If we spend this press conference pointing the finger of blame at 30 Church Street versus 131 West Broad Street, and I know that's not what you're suggesting, and I'm not even suggesting the mayor said that I didn't see her press conference, we will be doing a disservice to that young man. The fact is that young man died, and he died because at least one or two or three adults on payroll in some municipal level failed him. And we will figure out what it was that happened, but I'm just keeping it real with you. I'm not gonna spend a lot of time pointing over there and responding to somebody who might be pointing over here. That is not gonna be his legacy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Carl Kristoff. I'm the general counsel for the district. We're well aware of the allegation that you pointed out. However, out of respect for the investigation that I do not want to compromise at this point, I can tell you only that we are making a very serious inquiry to determine exactly what happened on that occasion. There have been several individuals who have been placed on administrative leave pending the outcome of the investigation, and should the allegations be confirmed, very serious consequences will befall them.
Can you all explain the system as a whole? If the teacher marks a student absent or doesn't mark a student absent, are they automatically then put to be present if they're just not there?
Would you prefer I defer to that, or?
If you know the answer, that's fine. You're asking if there's a default.
As far as a default system, I'm unaware of one. There is an attendance procedure which calls for an automatic robocall to be sent out at 11 o'clock on any day reflecting the attendance that was taken before then.
What time does the first class march present? What time do they do that the first time?
So I'm going to ask Anne-Marie Lehner, and again, when we get to detail level questions, my goal is to ensure accuracy. I want to make sure, since schools have different start and stop times, that we're answering specifically for this school.
Hi, my name is Anne-Marie Lehner. I'm the CIO for the district. So in answer to your question, there is no default. So teachers must go in and they must set the student either to present or absent, and there are many different codes amongst that. And the robocall goes out for absent without, basically without approval. So that is, so those students actually were set to present by three teachers. So there was no robocall that went out. Yes, that's correct. His special education teacher marked him absent. I'm sorry, marked him present. Yes. I'm saying it wrong. I am so sorry. Okay. His specials teachers for the special classes marked him as present. His special education teacher marked him as absent. Correct. So the robocall is based on first period attendance only. Yes, that's correct. So, you know, first period, it looks at the system, and if the student is marked as absent without approval, then a robocall goes out.
He was marked present in the first period.
That's correct.
So the system as a whole, do you feel confident in it as a whole, and it was just a failure of a particular person or several people within the system?
The system works as designed, yes. One robocall goes out per day for elementary schools, and it goes out at 11 a.m., but it goes out based on the first period attendance.
So it doesn't matter whether he's a seventh grader or
school? It's school by school. It wouldn't matter regardless, because for even for secondary schools, the robocall goes out based upon first period attendance.
It is my goal to continue to serve the children of this school district and to continue to put the kinds of practices in place, building relationships and doing the kind of practice that will help this district improve. We are well aware that we are not perfect, that we have systems issues. The extent of this systems issue is apparent. I don't feel that the current robocall system is adequate, but to systematically have the capacity to go through this, I think that's what we need to focus on right now, is serving children and serving the district. And I'll defer to Commissioner White.
Just let me say this. If we all who are on the public payroll don't walk away from this wondering whether we are worthy of our jobs, then we shouldn't have them. So the question that he presented could have been directed at me, could be directed at anybody in this room, because a young man died. And if we don't reflect whether we're worthy of our jobs, if we can't think about whether we did the job to protect that young man, then maybe we don't deserve to be here. So with all due respect, I believe that question could be asked of anybody in this room. I'll take responsibility for that as well. My belief was that these are two separate entities with two separate massive budgets, with two separate lines of communications, payroll, and very distinct systems issues, as you can hear just by the questions that have been asked thus far. I think to have talked about 911 and protocols for attendance would have been a mistake. So it's not that we don't and should not work together, we should. But in addressing the deficiencies that caused this young man's death, I believed it was important to do it independently and separately. Now, let's make no mistake about it. When we fix this city, we have to fix it, as the mayor would say, as one city. But as we address our problems, we have to own them. That's the other thing, quite frankly. I thought that to be in the public safety building or to be here, the board wanted the message to be unequivocally clear. We own this. We're not looking for some other mistake that somebody else may or may not have made. The Board of Education and the staff issue, we own this. And I believed that if we put a whole bunch of other people in the room, that message would have gotten lost. And I believe my colleagues did not want that.
I So we take this, obviously, with the utmost sense of urgency. So being visible, ensuring that I am personally engaged, making certain that we are clear about the goals that we have, the obligations we have, the responsibility we have. I can only say as a parent that children spend the majority of their time here with us. And I believe that my staff understands that level of support and commitment. You have thousands of people serving children here in this district every day that feel that this was a tragedy. They accept responsibility, and we need to make sure that we're working to make sure that this never happens again.
Well, what are you doing to do that? Are you hiring the principal? Are you retraining the teachers? What specifically?
So specifically, we are affording, as we must, due process to all employees. We're making certain that we have the facts and that the consequences are appropriate, and that's what we have our attorney Carl Kristoff and our labor attorneys working with. As far as ensuring, so let me get specific. We had our chiefs of schools check every school personally with their principal. The principals and the chiefs individually went through policies and procedures related to any opportunity for this incident to be repeated. They were asked to explicitly determine whether or not, in their judgment, they had the systems and supports in place, whether there had been adequate training, and to call out any potential opportunities for us to do clarification, retraining, and additional support. Specifically, I am not satisfied with a robocall procedure. I can assure you that when my children attended another Monroe County School District, that if I did not call them in as absent, that I was notified either at my home or my place of work or at my emergency number. I can also assure you that when they left the school during the day, that I was notified that they were missing. So one of the things that I have asked that we look at very seriously is whether the robocall system is adequate given the tragedy that we have all just experienced. That is correct. My understanding is that at one point in this district, it would default to present, which could clearly have consequences. My understanding, and I'm going to look to make sure that I am accurate, there is an affirmative action now required on the part of the teacher or the adult that is taking attendance, and there is no default in the system any longer. How many students were in the class and how many staff were in the class? Does anybody have a specific answer to that?
He was in a classroom considered a 15 to 1, so there were 15 students and a teacher.
So that is what you're stating now is not something that I am aware of. So I'm asking if anyone is aware of that. If not, Mike, if you're aware, the five adults that are supervising the exit and entrance to the buses, the question is that related to the breakfast and program with students?
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Mike Schmidt, the Chief Operating Officer with the school district. Every building has its own, basically, a supervision model. So if they have breakfast in the classroom, they still are required to provide the appropriate supervision outside of the building. So if they choose to do breakfast in the classroom, it does not mitigate the responsibility for supervision of students as they enter that school facility every single morning. So certainly, as part of our after-action review, that part of the research would certainly be done. If we have to make modifications to that breakfast initiative, we certainly will do that.
Is there an accounting of how many adults were out, or how many children? Do we have a number of adults out there, how many kids they get off the bus? Is that certain? That five were?
So there were five adults in addition to the bus drivers and procedures on the buses, correct?
That's correct. There are five school 12 personnel there, as well as one district troubleshooter that is consistently on site because of the traffic patterns and the hospital traffic and so forth at the school 12 facility.
And they were all there that day?
We had one absent staff member that day, which is why they had five. Normally, we have six.
So, Carl, I just want to make sure that I'm absolutely accurate. Three?
There are three.
Three.
Is that the teachers or is that the attendance staff?
I won't identify
okay.
by position.
Okay. We can't.
The investigation.
Okay. We can't identify by position. Apologize. So can I address the classification of the student? Okay, I can? Okay. So he was classified as a student with a learning disability.
And the supervised plan?
Was a 15-to-1 placement with some related services. So students with disabilities are students that require additional support and attention under federal and state laws in order to meet the goals of their school program. There are a variety of classifications that a CSE is able to use to properly place and serve a student. Among those are classifications such as a student with a learning disability, a speech impairment, a student with autism actually is classified as a student with autism and that therefore gets some additional services.
You didn't have any transportation support, is that correct?
That is correct. The student's IEP indicated that he would ride the regular school bus. Is that correct, Mike? Okay, just double checking. Thank you. The students exit the buses and walk to the school, and it is our obligation to ensure that they get to the school door safely. So, yes. I have not been directly made aware of the exchange that occurred. I have certainly heard that that's the case, so I'm going to ask Mike, who may have additional information. What I'm trying to do, frankly, is verify the information that I get, because I get a lot of it, and I want to make sure that when we share information with you, that it's accurate.
It's about the video that we did, right, that we didn't release.
So as part of, as Chief Simonelli mentioned earlier this afternoon, part of the after-action review is the coordination or consultation between the district's administrators and staff that was on site at School 12 that afternoon on Thursday the 8th, as well as the responding officers that were there. So we will be consulting with them and working with that after-action review. So it's too premature for us to actually comment on that specifically, but that we will certainly report that out as soon as we have that information.
Say on that point, and I'll concede that my ignorance on this subject, but I understand that the mayor was concerned about that particular issue.
Oh, no, that was RP, not
Well, RPD was concerned about that issue. And let me say that the goal of folks at 131 West Broad Street and 30 Church Street in the headquarters is to keep children safe. But having been a lawyer for most of my professional life and having been a prosecutor, there are some rules that govern even the fostering of good relationships. And the district, as you probably know, is governed by FERPA laws respecting, and that includes not just academic records, that includes videotapes. I know this is a private litigator against school districts. So not having been privy to those conversations, I can tell you that sometimes what gets in the way is not people's goodwill to work with others. And I want to reaffirm to the mayor and to Chief Simonelli, I think what they know, which is this is a district that wants to work with them to protect children and make sure this is a safe community. But sometimes, and I'm not speaking to this particular case, I know what gets in the way of good relationships is the law. And sometimes that can prevent the facilitation of the transfer of information. I'm not sure that that's what happened here, but having been a litigator against school districts, I can tell you school districts, good school districts, are very protective of that kind of data, including film, because it's protected by the law. Just wanted to add that. Again, I'm not the expert in this, but I can tell you this, and I'm not the attorney general, but to that question, it is not a defense to say what will happen if I don't do X, Y, and Z. The question is, are you going to comply with the law? And I think there are ways to make sure that happens. Just because the law says something, it doesn't mean you can't facilitate something sooner than later. So I'm not saying it's impossible, and apparently they did eventually get the video. I just want the community to know what I'm sure Michael Simonelli knows, which is that there are some challenges in fostering and maintaining those good relationships. And one of those challenges sometimes can be, unfortunately, even in the most egregious or exigent circumstances, sometimes the law, rather than help protecting people, can serve as an impediment.
I haven't had any contact with them. No?
We're really not at liberty to disclose that, not at this point.
Can I go back to the robocall? I mean, you made it very clear that that's a system you want to change.
Yes.
The fact of the matter is, whether the robocall system was different or not, you had employees who allegedly lied inside that school. So do you think that the principal needs to go? Do you think if that were the employees who said,
so what I'm going to say is that what we're providing today is the results of the investigation that we have continued thus far. And I know that it's very frustrating that we can't get it all done. So I don't want to address what else will be done, but I will assure you that the investigation is continuing. And we will go through the same process of getting information, verifying the information, and then determining what additional steps may be. And we will basically keep you informed of those steps along the way. Is that a fair response? Because I know that we may anticipate that there will be some additional findings and actions at this time. I just can't speak to those. So I did get an email this morning and actually was very appreciative of that because it gives us the opportunity then for me to call and have that looked at. The thing is with the digital systems, we're able to actually go in and verify and look to see what's happening. So what we have done is taken this opportunity to check the numbers, to check the timing, to check the human element of this. And even if there is one opportunity for an error, we have learned that we have to do everything possible.
Barbara, to put attendance alerts in every building and potentially to eliminate the calls and favor of a person making all those calls would be large.
I don't have exact numbers. I do know that we today talked about when is the last time this district had attendance clerks, what positions were they, we're looking at what year it was determined to eliminate them in the budget process in favor of the robocalls, which obviously is much more efficient in terms of finances, perhaps. But in looking at the possibilities here, especially with, so I'll tell you the other question I might ask is the frequency of robocalls, what happens when you have just first period attendance instead of setting the system to read multiple periods. So those are all questions that I have asked, and we actually are looking at what different options may be. I'm just saying personally, I would prefer a personal phone call, personally.
We have just a few minutes left. As I indicated, there were some other commitments that other folks had made, but I want to get back to your point, because I think there's an opportunity here about the videotape. If, in fact, Chief Simonelli, as I hear, is concerned about that, I think there's an opportunity for us to sort of do a forensic and figure out what happened. I just don't want people walking away thinking that there was a 24, 48-hour, three-day delay here. While all the information is in, and we gave to Ms. Houston the information that we could verify this morning, there's a lot more that we have yet to learn. But on that particular score, rather than speaking to Ms. Houston, I'm sure the staff and I will speak to Chief Simonelli, and we'll go through what that time frame was. I believe that there was staff that was thinking about the law, FERPA, but my understanding is, this is preliminary, is that people got back to them as soon as possible. How quickly it was may have not been quick enough for Chief Simonelli. Under the circumstances, one can appreciate his concern. But again, I don't want anybody to walk away thinking that there was this dilatory action on the part of the district. I think people got to it as soon and as quick as they could. Could we perhaps come to some understanding about how we could do it quicker? God forbid there should be a next time. We're going to have those kinds of conversations. The point here is, this isn't a conversation just with Ms. Houston. This is a conversation with the entire community. And I appreciate the fact that they're concerned about this and are examining what's going on in their own shop, because I think this young man and his mom and this entire community is entitled to that. One or two more questions? One more question, because Barbara and others really have to get going. Any other questions for Barbara?
I'm just checking to make sure, because as you know, it would be customary for us to not discuss this information, but I'm being told that we can. So I want you to check, make sure I'm correct. So he did have an IEP. The student was classified as having a learning disability, and his program placement was a 15-to-1 classroom. So we are looking right now to determine the best person to do an independent investigation, which would mean turning over everything we've done, having timelines looked at, the quality of the work, what we've done, and the actual results. And we actually are considering whether or not it would be in everyone's best interest for us to have not only an investigation of the system and the steps that were taken, but a look specifically at Trayvon, his program, his services, and the decision making around his classification and his placement. So as has been indicated by President White and others, we take our obligation to understand fully where we made mistakes that resulted in tragic consequences very seriously. And we intend to do everything we can to learn everything about what we did not do correctly, and to put the specific steps in place to ensure that this never happens again to another family.
No, unfortunately, as indicated, we gave the information that we, as I described, as undisputed factual data to Ms. Houston. I'm representing, Barbara's represented what we do know today. There are a lot of things we don't know. And to your question about subsequent investigations, the board has been very clear about this. They want an independent investigation, and we've asked New York State Department of Education to look at these issues. That is an issue that we're going to have to examine ourselves. We have to have good relationships with City Hall for this to happen. I'm sure Chief Simonelli has his timeline about when the request was made. We have our timeline, and hopefully amicably, we can have some discussion about what happened, reach a consensus as to what happened, and then maybe talk about what we need to do to improve that so that something like that doesn't happen again. So on behalf of the Board of Education, again, two of my colleagues are here. We appreciate your interest, and we really feel blessed that you've taken the time to share this information with the community. And to my colleagues here, you all don't know but perhaps can have an appreciation of the kind of work that was put into this tragedy. None of them are complaining, and all of them, I think, have probably shed a tear or two. But I do think, at least on behalf of the Board of Education, we should say thank you to their work. And again, I'm going to conclude by sending, on behalf of the Board of Education and an entire school district, our apologies, and end with this one statement. We failed that young man, and our job is to make sure that it doesn't happen again. God bless and good night.
Thank you, everybody.